you can actually see there's like scratch marks around the stairs.
Oh, geez.
So for the first time, she can like fly around corners, like, you know, run unimpeded for long periods of time. Uh-huh. Our Brooklyn apartment was tiny. And so now she just comes whipping around the corner and just digs her claws in because she has no like foothold on the floor. So one day, Erica looks down, she's like, where do these scratches come from? I'm like, oh, shit, I think it's a cat.
Putting on the brakes.
You don't ever trim her claws, do you?
No. We made that mistake.
She's like this long.
No, she takes care of herself, but it's
really
pretty frightening.
She go outside at all?
Very rarely.
I gotta trim our cats, or they'll actually like start to curl.
No, she's really good about biting them down and stuff like that. But yeah, hey, I don't, whatever.
You can get them removed.
No, that's awful. No. That's like taking terrible. This knuckle off.
It's
the exact same as taking this.
Oh my god, it makes me barf when cats are declawed.
It was in the contract. We actually got her from a breeder, and he's like, "You cannot declaw her." And then when he explained what it was, we're like, "We won't."
It's horrible. Yeah. It's really inhuman.
Wow, Mark, why are you so horrific?
Why do you hate animals?
Yeah.
I don't hate animals. Why aren't we recording this?
We are. Everything's been recorded since we sat down.
No, okay.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's the off the cuff naturalistic style of the podcast that no one listens to, guys.
Speaking of, someone told me this guy at work said his wife has 6 birds, right?
Six
one of
birds?
Them, birds.
Half a dozen.
And one
birds.
Of them is a parrot of some kind.
First, I thought you said births, and I was like, that's.
No. Wow, good for her.
Only 3 births of natural children, and then 6 birds.
How many births of unnatural children?
I didn't ask that. I thought it would be rude.
You don't ask that. Yeah. You don't. Untimely ripped.
Rosemary.
So she has this one parrot whose life expectancy is like 90. Like he had to make plans with his children, like what to do. So he said, I said, well, do they fly around or do you just keep them in a cage? He's like, no, they had their wings clipped. And I was like,
what?
And he's like, it's like, what did he say? How did he compare it? He said it was like, cut a hair trim. It would be the human equivalent to getting your hair cut. And
hair to walk.
Yeah.
More like getting your feet chopped.
If your hair had like bones and cartilage.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. It would be like, no, it's like the scene from Misery where she takes the thing and just crushes
you won't
him.
Feel a thing.
Yeah.
Crack.
Give you a haircut.
It's like a hair. It's like the human equivalent of a haircut. No, it's not.
That's
did
what
the bird ask for it and then leave you a tip afterwards? Then no.
Did he give you 2 bits? No.
Little off the top. Little off the top.
Does your bird tell you more than he would tell his bird doctor?
I'm a baba, but I also diagnose man problems. hi, guys. Well, thank you for coming over.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
It's quite the setup.
Yeah, the laptop is new and not mine.
Oh,
and the mic is new and not mine. They're both from work.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a pretty sweet setup at work, so my former boss now, like, things are actually going to change very soon, but my former boss was like, you should do podcasting. And I'm like, I should do it for work as well. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been cool.
Cool.
Did you make this... the box thing or
no, I bought it. What they charge for the sound isolating foam is like mafia prices. It's ridiculous. So if you just buy the kit, for some reason it's a lot cheaper.
Hmm.
So it there'll still be echo because we're in a big room, but
right,
you know, not in a little man cave downstairs. Riss, Mike and I squeeze in tight together.
Was that usually where you do your
casting? Casting.
Yes. Not the other stuff.
Do our what?
What?
You were like, what do you think we do down there?
Yeah, that's what he meant.
Because it's just podcasting.
It's just...
At least that's what he told me.
Well, speaking of that, when we were first starting...
Sounds better with your clothes off, I guess.
I told you, Mike, you get that sound. No one likes
the
sound.
Yeah. Material.
When we did our first couple of podcasts, we didn't have any of this stuff, so... Mike brought his video camera over, and like we hunched over it, like practically cheek to cheek, so we could be heard in the microphone.
Ha.
So I was editing like
It sounded okay,
but I was editing like a 4 gigabyte.
It was recording an HD video.
Yeah,
so
the whole time.
Kind of a big file.
So it was just like half of each of our shoulders in the frame.
Oh my gosh!
So we've graduated.
Now, did you rip the sound from that?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like how I use
forcibly. Untimely, even. Untimely. There's no natural rippage there.
Oh, let's not talk about ripping.
So, for the two people that listen to the podcast, we established my wife and I, you have recently moved back together from Chicago.
Yes. Should we introduce these two people?
Yeah.
Have we done that?
No.
No.
I'm Beth Winslow, or Beth Winslow D'Amico.
I like how you only have the Italian accent for the last part of that.
Beth Winslow D'Amico. Elizabeth Winslow D'Amico.
And I'm Mark D'Amico. 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 D'Amico.
Okay. I think that last take worked.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to keep them all, but that's good.
Yeah, the Manchi Chronicles. And you are the Manchi Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the proper way to say that? You are the Manchi Chronicles.
Yeah,
we are.
You make up the Manchi Chronicles.
You
are the auteurs of.
It changes a lot. We say we're Manchi. We are the Manchi Chronicles.
The Manchi Chronicles is our official name.
You're the Manchis.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
Did I ever say I was watching the Manchi the other night?
I haven't heard that one, but they may have. Behind their, like, at home. Like, I went to see the Manchi tonight.
Yeah, or when's your next Manchi?
Yeah.
Hey, was my
we
father.
Do get that a lot. When's your next Manchi?
So, when's your next Manchi?
When's Manchi going to perform?
Yeah, when's
Has anyone used it as a verb yet? Because that's what I really want to know. If you've run the full gamut.
Did you Manchi recently?
Yeah, what are you guys in a Manchi?
Did you Manchi?
No, I don't think it's been used as a verb.
Make it happen.
You just got Manchied.
You drop the Manchi.
Thank you. You've been Manchi.
The Manchis have been chronicled.
Yeah. First name Manchi, last name Chronicles.
Chronicles.
I say Manchi, you say
Chronicles. Yeah.
Write this down.
So are you guys gonna be doing Manchi soon again? Do you have a plan?
Will you be Manchi-ing
again? Will you be Manchi-ing it up with the Chronicles?
We don't know. At this point, obviously we'd like to. It's just been so hectic the last, month or so, just with the holidays and stuff. I feel like between November and December it's kind of a blur and family coming in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's move, just and not just a lot
before
to
before that
yeah.
to move and coming back.
And trying to schedule a show around holiday parties and this and that. Not that I'm attending because I don't get invited to any, but that other people have.
Can we go back to that statement real quick? Mark, I sense some bitterness from your wife. What's the deal there?
No. I was just making a point that, like, I didn't mean it to make it sound like I had a busy social calendar.
I think it sounded very much the opposite.
I'm sorry.
She doesn't get invited to a lot of parties.
I don't.
But I'm imagining Mark does. That's what I'm reading.
He's the mayor. He gets invited to everything.
Not really.
Every day. He's like, hey, can we squeeze in seeing this person play at this place in between seeing this person and this person? I can't keep it straight.
Well, all I know is that I have my Friday night planned because I was invited by you to chili night at the Winslows. So
my whole family
who has a social event calendar?
No, he's much more social.
You have nights.
My family's coming to town tonight.
Particular meals.
Extended family, so.
They come in from, like, all across the country.
Yes.
For chili.
And then my mother sends out a schedule saying.
They're not here yet.
They're
almost here.
We'll know. Everybody will know when they get here.
I hear, like, the sound of
feel it.
They're here. They're coming from Vermont, Michigan, Texas.
Whoa.
They really are coming from all around the country.
Really good chili, apparently.
Yeah, just for the chili. Then they're leaving. They're not even saying for Christmas.
Chili night.
Back to the original point is that it's hard to schedule anything.
Sure.
Until,
Until the chili's.
Until the chili's
settled. Well,
settles.
The chili's
been most of it's done, yeah.
And then we're actually making our foray into sketch writing. Which is a little, intimidating and strange and cool.
Now, is that something that you you worked on when you were in Chicago?
Chi-town.
It's actually not. I didn't. Mark did.
I did some writing in Chicago. I wrote some solo sketch material, which I have since rewritten to include multiple players. And I co-wrote a musical.
Whoa.
As well.
At the Annoyance Theater.
At the Annoyance Theater.
With Monsieur Napier. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
He and Jen watched it and gave us notes and
that's
and
awesome.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was a really fun process.
That was actually the best part of show. I mean, we met wonderful people in Chicago, but for us, studying at the Annoyance, going through the program there, and becoming friends with Mick Napier and Jennifer Esslin
I could call Jen right now. I have her number.
All right,
we text.
Enough. Dial it down.
We text.
Could you just?
You guys watch your feet. Watch your feet, because he's dropping names. Okay.
I could just call her.
Yeah. No, they are amazing people, and Mick Napier is honestly the most unbelievable director I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
He is an intense man.
I love him. Yeah. I just love him. He's incredible.
Am I the only one who hasn't met this guy?
Yes.
Oh.
No, I mean, even our wives upstairs have met this guy.
Son of a
You're the only
bitch.
One.
Were you still around when Armando Diaz was in town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember that whole thing where I was like, I'm at a Halloween party with Armando Diaz in New York? And did you hear about this?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think I texted.
I remember. No, I do. I don't know if I heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Day
he
of,
like,
or,
was like, what the hell?
Or after.
It was after, right? It was after
well,
the.
Well, it was just that I texted Smike. I'm like, I'm partying with him. I'm dressed up as a Final Fantasy VII character. And Armando Diaz is here. And we're hanging out. And he's dressed like the guy who got shot in the eye from Godfather. Like, thinking, like, oh, I'm awesome. And so
I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. He was just here.
We were drinking with him last
week. We were doing
week,
a workshop
like,
with him.
Come on.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, he was really good. We enjoyed our experience. That was another kind of strange thing because during his workshop was held in the Pillar Theater at mm-hmm. Village Gate. And it was it was at the time that some folks were running that festival. I'm not going to name any names.
Okay, that's good.
And
we don't have to name names.
Yeah, and it was very strange because during this workshop, there were people walking in and out and carrying,
door slamming,
like, doors, you know, getting hauling
rude,
equipment, and it was like,
well, this
so
man was
less than respectful.
Yes.
Less than the respect that you would think they would afford
this person.
This well
improvisational luminary.
Improvisational guru.
Who they, you know, invited and paid to conduct a workshop. They then.
Yeah, it was really strange.
He seemed all right with Rochester when I talked to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was pretty off the cuff about it. I wasn't trying to one-up your Mick Napier thing. I was really just pointing out that one time I tried
to
name drop, all three of you managed to just bitch slap me back down. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we hung out with him. We didn't have to travel to New York to do it.
So, no, met him at one of the early improv festivals in Austin, Texas.
You're back to Mick Napier now.
Yeah, Mick Napier. Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. Thought we were talking about.
No, I was just saying.
Armando.
Yeah, and that was like 90... something 94 95 96 I don't know, something around there.
Mid-90s.
That was like at the height of his
late to mid-90s,
probably his just drunken drug-fueled debauchery.
Yeah, and I was there with a group. I was a graduate student at Long Island University, and
Electric Pickle Company.
No, this is the new thing was the name of that group. Oh. And I was directing it. I was a graduate student, and the group was undergraduates, so I had like driven this bus full of undergraduates down to the big festival. And I had like people warning me, keep your kids away from Mick Napier because he's crazy.
Wow,
and he's a little awesome.
Yeah, he's actually just this one of the kindest people I've ever met. Like within the same night we met him, he told both of us, if you need anything in Chicago, tell us. Anything that we can
do to
welcome you into the city. Stop saying that, you weirdo.
Will he kill someone for you?
I think he did.
Mark? I think it's a call to make.
He probably did.
Depends who the person is.
He's awesome. He's an incredible dude. Man. Person.
And the theater is equally as great.
Coolest.
In terms of...
So we really don't know much about what all you did. Did you get in, like, with the,
I still kind of think you might have been contract killers for the time you were away.
Felt like it. When I first went there, I went, and Second City offered me another boat. and I turned it down.
You turned down the whole boat? Come on, who yeah. does that? Those things are so expensive.
The flagship of the fleet, too, oh, I know.
We tried to turn it over,
yeah.
but it kept bouncing back.
Okay, everybody, run to the other side. Okay, now run back.
That's legitimate. Lean, that lean, happened.
Lean.
We had 7,000 people on our boat. So Second City offered me another boat, and I did not want to do it, but they were kind enough through the friends I had met there to let me play in a 24-hour improv festival and music festival called Letters to Santa. And TJ Jagodowski, and I believe it's associated with his, he does it for charity every year and has for many years. And so all these incredible alumni get to come back and perform in this 24-hour. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Tweedy from the lead singer Wilco,
mm-hmm.
he performed there. His kids have a musical group, and they performed there.
Oh, I was imagining him doing improv. Okay.
Yeah, no. They also have music. So Fred Armisen and
awesome.
Jason Sudeikis, Pat O'Brien, just this laundry list of incredibly talented people. So that was really cool, meeting kind of some of my comedy idols, and I did a scene with Jason Sudeikis, and I did couple scenes with Olivia Wilde. And it was,
you posted the Jason Sudeikis thing on Facebook, right? Yeah,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
So that's when he and Olivia Wilde, are they still together? Or they?
Yeah, they're having a baby. They're
about to have a baby. Yeah. Yeah.
And they, so that was really cool. And then I kind of just, I did a sharp right turn away from the Second City towards the Annoyance, and kind of just
did a bunch of shows there.
I did some shows with the Annoyance.
An original musical.
Yeah, I was.
Was it written by you?
No, okay. Not this one.
This one was written by a wonderful guy named Tim Paul, who's an incredible teacher and improviser. Hilarious.
You may see him on some commercials.
He was on
for
the
U.S. Postal Service.
The like the Christmas sweater commercial last year. The post office. He gets the same ugly sweater in the mail, and he mails it back, and the mailman's like, "My sweater." He's like, "Thank you."
That guy.
I think I remember that.
Anyway,
fellow with a beard.
He wrote a musical called My So-Called Afterlife, which was my so-called, like the TV show My So-Called Life set.
We just went to the whole season a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and so it was, but the cast of characters were all dead famous people. So
nice.
The Claire Danes character,
dead
Angela Chase,
people.
Was played by, was Anne Frank.
Jeez.
And then,
whoa.
Yeah. And then Jordan Catalano's character was
Ryan White.
Ryan White. He was.
Yeah.
He died of AIDS in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And then
the
best friend, the kind of Rayanne character, I think, was JonBenet Ramsey.
Whoa.
All right. So this is a family show.
So I did.
It's got kids in it.
I played Heather O'Rourke, otherwise known as the little girl from Poltergeist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they were all in a high school, and their teacher was
Krista McAuliffe.
Krista McAuliffe.
Okay. Who died in the Challenger.
Oh.
Yep. So it was great.
Man. But what was so great about it was, I mean, it was all so shocking because of these people. But it was this well-written musical with gorgeous music, and everybody performing could sing the crap. Can I swear? Can you know?
Don't fucking
sing. They could sing the
podcast.
Shit out of these tunes.
Yeah.
And there was
Alex Kleiner did the music, and he's incredible. He's the musical director at ETC now at
Second City.
Oh wow!
He's so talented,
and he just wrote these gorgeous songs that made you feel emotions that you didn't expect to feel while watching a musical about dead kids. Like, there was a scene with JonBenet Ramsey and
her mother.
And
Ramsey,
I cried.
They have a duet together.
I cried. It was crazy. And Anne Frank and Ryan White have a pretty powerful
Kill Screen
tune called Kill Screen.
About Donkey Kong. It was great.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
Kill Screen. Yeah, it was really good.
It was impressive.
Anyway. So that's what I did, and then I did another show, excuse me, there, called
Absurdist
The Imminent.
Play.
Yeah, I did an Absurdist show there, which was super fun.
Absurdism.
And so that was my Chicago experience.
It
kind
sounds
of,
awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. I didn't do a ton outside of the annoyance, but I loved it.
No, you're doing some good stuff with the Annoyance, though.
Yeah.
You wrote a sketch show for your office Christmas party with fellow improvisers. One of was Rochester native Nick Johnson.
Oh, Nick! Yeah. How's Nick doing?
He's great. He and I worked together. He kind of hooked me up with my job there, which was at a web-based I won't go into what it was. It was a great place to work, and the people there were super cool, and they hired a bunch of improvisers. Mm-hmm. And it was a really young, hip company, and it was just fun. So they enlisted all the improvisers and performers to write a comedy show for their Christmas party. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun.
And then they fed all of us and let us go drink.
To Whirly Ball. Have you guys ever played Whirly Ball?
Whirly Ball.
It's incredible.
It's a Chicago staple. It's old bumper cars with no steering wheels. They just have, like, joysticks to steer.
And
trackball, like
high lie, kind of
like those plastic trackballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And the object is you have to throw that plastic softball sized wiffle ball into
a basketball
backboard with no hoop, and you know the square on the backboard
that's cut out,
and that's how you score. It was like a bunch of drunk Chicagoans found this old...
It's so cool.
Old carnival stuff.
It's like bumper cars plus high life plus basketball.
Yeah.
Plus alcohol.
Plus drinking.
Plus alcohol. Yeah.
Plus a lot it's of alcohol.
Terribly dangerous.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It's
so
wonderful.
Because
yeah.
It's danger.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to be. Because
the cars are so much harder to steer.
It's like
everything's bad. It's like steering a fishing boat. But in front of you, so everything's backwards. Yeah.
Did it have the stupid thing in the divider in the center, or was it just free-for-all?
Free-for-all.
Have you noticed they've, like, nerfed bumper cars? Like, you have to go in a circle now. And then if you bump into too many people, they'll, like, yell at you.
I think they're just worried about, like, the head trauma.
Bumper cars.
Yeah. Bumper cars.
Yeah.
Then don't get on the bumper car.
Why not handle the teacups? Because that shit's serious.
Gravitron. That's all I got to say.
Are they govern the go-karts and kick you off if you just drive the wrong way and crash into people?
You can't do that, though, right? Because they're... I'm thinking about the things that are like... There's like a track.
Yeah,
and
you can
steer a little bit.
They have that at Disney World. That sucks. Because, like, if you're a little bit off, then sparks come flying out and you're like, I hated this part.
I'm a roller coaster person. I'm just going to stick to roller coasters.
I used to dig the bumper cars. But that was, like, the whole thing where you, like, you got, like, your buddy across.
And you just
make a... And you're like, you got the line and you got the... Yeah. And you're just going to plow right into... You're just going to T-bone him and there's nothing he can do because he's stuck between two other cars. That's the best feeling.
Or just getting sideswiped, like, not seeing it coming, getting you bell rung.
And then right before you get to him, somebody else T-bones you.
Yeah.
And you see them and you're like, oh! And your friend's like, ah!
And he gets hit.
Yeah.
And then he dies. Wait, what are we talking about?
And then he ends up in a musical.
Roller coasters, that's, I don't know. I'm still coming to terms with roller coasters. The last roller coaster I went on was that one in Vegas, I think.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah.
Did it not go well?
New York, New York.
Yeah.
It's like the one, it goes throughout the casino, so it's like very like, oh, we're going to go on a right turn now. Oh, we're going, like it's, you can't see my hand.
Is it fast the whole time?
Snake stuff.
It's cool. I mean, because it like starts inside the casino and like goes out and around. It
comes back in. Yeah, it gets fast at times.
Pretty cool.
It's the water slides that go outside of the hotel and then go back into the hotel.
I'm not a big fan of the jerk as much as the drop. I like the...
So you're more Superman, less old wooden's like...
Yeah. No, less Jackrabbit, more...
Yeah.
I rode the Superman 13 times for a Darien Lake commercial.
That's the only roller coaster that has ever scared me.
Oh, it's terrible.
That's the one where you're hanging, right? Didn't somebody get there?
No.
Someone did die. A couple people died.
On the Superman, yeah.
Your legs are hanging, right?
No.
Nope.
No, you're sitting in a car that is so small that you feel like you're going to fly out at any instant. And there's a little kind of bar that goes over your legs.
I've been in
a roller coaster. It happened to me twice in two different occasions at two different parks where the thing, the restraint, just did not go down enough. So there was way too much room, and that I did not like that sensation. Like,
whoa.
At one point, my ex-boyfriend, I remember, had to like hold his hand over me because I was really convinced I was going to fall out. It turned out okay, but. It was just too...
Wasn't that one of the Final Destination movies?
Probably.
The thing comes down but doesn't like close all the way.
Well,
and they're like, this isn't closing, and then it just takes off. And
one I was super paranoid about was that we pulled up and everybody got off and mine did not lift up. So I was just like, I get a free ride. Well, then, as I discovered, they, you know, a new crowd came in, and I was like, oh my god, wait, what if it like, goes up, you know, in the middle? I mean, obviously there's something wrong with this, that it didn't go up, so now I'm going up this giant hill with a restraint that doesn't work. So then I had it, I really had a, an episode.
Hi!
Kitty cat.
Willow, right?
Yes.
I had a Final Destination moment. I made the mistake of going to an amusement park in Italy. And they don't have the same safety standards.
Yeah, I just imagine a guy like smoking a cigarette, like, anything? You want to go on my ride?
I'm on the roller coaster.
So it's like a U.S.
Somebody working these, I gotta go.
Circa like 1950.
Yeah, nothing's been checked. And we went on those, like, those. They have one at Disney World where you go all the way up and then it just drops you like a tower. Yeah. Or they have the other one where you're at the bottom and it just shoots you straight up.
Oh, yeah, with the spring or whatever, yeah.
And they had that. They had roller coasters, everything that you would find in an American amusement park, but much older and rustier and less safe looking.
Oh man!
So there were no restrictions, no safety precautions taken on all of the extremely dangerous rides. Yet, when you went into the water park, everyone was given a shower cap that you were required to wear while on the water rides because
someone had gotten their hair stuck.
Because your hair could cause a problem with the water. But nothing else was, you didn't have to do, you could, nothing else mattered. Yet they were very, very picky about.
So what you're telling me, the Italians were weird about their hair? That's what they knew.
It wasn't the safety, we don't care so much.
They don't want to mess up with your hair.
It's gross.
You mess up with your hair. You
mess up with your hair on the slide. And they were these lovely, like, two-tone caps where they had a white stripe down the middle and they were either navy blue on either side or black on either side. And there were just hundreds of people with these silly swim caps on. Yeah.
Probably looks like a cult if you don't know what's going on.
It was wild. It was wild. They were freaking out about that. Like if it fell off, like there was some, you know, some, you know, soccer playing lifeguard with shorts on. It was like blowing his whistle and moving his hands.
Does he have like a fanny pack full of extra ones?
I'm not gonna go in. I don't imagine any of them would have jumped in had any of us been drowning. I think there were two.
I don't have him a cap.
I gotta go in.
I can a doggy paddle. That's about
so it. Yeah, that was my Italian amusement park.
Wow, we should have gone. Well, I'm kind of glad we didn't.
Nah.
So what? Okay, so we got the Beth's time in Chicago in air quotes when she wasn't actually contractually killing people. What did you do when you weren't contractually killing people?
When I wasn't killing people or cleaning up from the kill.
Or her kill?
Yeah, right. Because she saw her blood, right? So double time.
Set up a kill room. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. She would say we have to kill somebody, but you know what that means. We
are cleaning up. She's doing that.
Yep,
gotcha.
Yep.
Story of my life, bro.
Yep.
American Psycho. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
American Psycho.
I just remember the chainsaw.
I know it was a movie.
Yeah, and he just like covered everything and it was you know, what's his name?
The crazy guy.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. Christian
Bale. Yeah. It's a very disturbing movie.
The book is apparently worse. I own it but I won't read it.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, it's
he's incredible. He's a great actor. Yeah. So.
That's why you call him the wolf from Pulp Fiction to clean up.
Mm-hmm. The old guy.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel.
Right? Harvey Keitel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's Harvey Keitel? Look at that.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
When I wasn't killing people, I was working as many part-time jobs as I think I could squeeze in.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in order to try to make money, wanted to utilize my experience as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I was a tutor for high school and college students, so I would make house calls or campus calls and work with different students.
With people you've already contracted with or just randomly knock on people's doors? Do you need
Via website. Via websites. I would get paired with students who needed.
Like the Avon lady, except.
Yeah. Right. I would get a call. They'd give me an address. Give me a description.
Was it the same site you were booking, you know, murder jobs through?
It depends.
You don't want to mix those up. Because
that can be really awkward.
Well, yeah, because I almost.
Like teaching or killing.
Yeah. Oh, you're reading The Great Gatsby.
So what was that like? I mean, were you, were the high school students like more well to do or like inner city?
They were all well to do. Yeah, they were all the high school students I worked with were well to do. I did tutor one guy who was a professional. He's actually an he's an advertiser for, he works for like TNT or something. Really high powered job. He was responsible for a lot of the ads during the NCAA tournament.
Oh wow!
And this dude was awesome. Sweet apartment in Chicago. And he just wanted to be a better writer. Like he just wanted to write better. That's so he would write practice essays. He would just pick topics that he was interested in and write essays, and then we would go through them together.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was hoping he would offer me tickets to something. Like that. Yeah, and then I worked with some other students who just were loaded. And then I worked with a student for an extended period of time whose father is a comic book artist.
Oh, what? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know who what?
I know his name,
but I
was not.
You mentioned some of the comics that he might have.
Well,
he did a graphic novel.
He done
for. Okay.
This is the thing. This is his claim. This is the big thing. He does graphics.
No one's gonna hear that.
And podcast. Storyboards for the dude who writes the Game of Thrones.
George R. R. Martin.
George R. R. Martin.
Very cool.
So George R. R. Martin sends him notes and ideas and outlines. This guy sketches out storyboards, sends them back to George.
For the book or for the show?
For the book. And okay. It helps him write. So he's able to look at these storyboards and he kind of writes. Oh, so they cool. work together.
George R. R. Martin has a very strong comic background. We actually, Eric and I listened to a podcast with him. And he's been doing comic books for years. He wrote Game of Thrones because he got sick of being confined to screen and comic. Well, it was screenwriting too. Mm-hmm. He kept writing screenplays that were too ambitious. Like, they couldn't do them back then. So he's like, fuck it, I'm going to write a book where, like, they'll never be able to turn this into a movie. And now it's the biggest show on
HBO.
It's funny, I think he, like, tweeted or something when it premiered that he's like, now you know what all your friends were talking about in 1996 or something. I was like,
yeah. Good stuff. So awesome. You tutored? That's really cool.
So I tutored. I wrote curriculum for a website. Like an educational website, I would just write up study guides for different novels and things like that. So that was pretty cool. What else did I do?
I got his personal training certification.
Oh, I got certified to be a personal trainer, and I worked with just a couple of people.
He substituted at the Chicago High School for the Arts.
Yeah, and then I substitute taught.
That sounds cool.
At the sorry, I'm just going to repeat myself. Chicago High School for the Arts, which is on the south side of Chicago.
That sounds cool.
And it's a charter school. It is great. It's a charter school. And it's all, you know.
People are like, what? Did this just loop backwards?
Remix!
Yes, it did.
But it was really cool. And I just substitute taught there as an English teacher. But the way the school is structured is they have all their academic classes during the day. And then from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, they have conservatory.
Nice.
And they audition and they go either for art, for music, instrumental, voice, acting, dance. I mean, this place, it's like if Glee were set in the inner city. It's that cool of a place. Like, kids dancing, doing ballet in the hallways, like having dance.
Choreographed dance numbers everywhere.
Dance battles at lunch.
It's more accurately like Step Up.
Kind of.
Channing Tatum's
sort of like,
breakout film role.
Just hearing these
Step Up.
These
an
voices
art school
come
in
from
the city.
All over.
That's all I'm saying.
Like, they have rehearsal rooms, and if a kid has a study hall, he can just go play the piano and sing. And it's funny because a lot of the young men there are dancers, and they're these, you know, these young, healthy, like, really in shape guys. And they would go out in the courtyard during lunch just to fool around and throw the football around and stuff. And these are, like, inner-city kids, jacked. And then they would throw the football, and it was like the worst awkward throw, and they'd be running around chasing the football. The complete opposite of what you would expect. Because that made me laugh. So I was up there during the day, and then I actually got hired to teach some acting courses there in the afternoon.
Wow.
So
cool.
I actually spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, that sounds like that was dangerously close to a full-time job.
At points, it was, because I would work both the conservatory and the day school.
You also were in a children's theater troupe.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, I was in a children's theater group. We performed.
What did I do here, Beth?
I forgot about that. That was a big one. That was really cool, too.
Let's not have Mark on alone.
We performed anti-bullying plays for elementary and middle school students.
Did they all have the kid picking up Chicagoland area?
For bullying? Don't do this.
Yeah. Boom. They went in and bullied the kids. Yeah. What not to do?
We just did
interactive theater.
No, you know, yeah. the kid who got bullied, that's on, you know,
oh, that slammed him, yeah.
Oh, right. Apologized, and then he got sued, and yeah. Like, no, fuck it.
No, he fought back.
The kid was clearly getting picked on.
Yeah, so he finally did something about it. Good for him. Yeah, we did, majority were anti-bullying. We did some reading his phone plays. That was crazy.
What was the audience age?
We had, like, elementary first through fifth level shows and then middle school shows.
Okay, so you had that level of lack of irony to just outright adolescent snark.
Yeah. But the bullying shows we did for the older kids, we were more truth-based. Like, we talked about our experiences with bullying with them because the hokey stuff didn't work.
Does not fly with middle schoolers.
Still bad.
So were you bullied as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was overweight. When I was a kid, and I got bullied.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was as well. Not overweight, but bullied.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we all had our own stories. Although one of our cast members, I don't know why they put it in this order, but she was the first person to share her bullying story. But her story was about her brother, who was bullied when he was in middle school. And these kids invited him over to their house, and they shot and killed him. They murdered him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You can't open with that.
Yeah.
These guys are still in prison, and it was, like, a pretty big... I mean, it was a big nationwide case. And our director had started with that, and then the rest of us were like, yeah, I was fat when I was a kid. I got made fun of because I was in theater. Like, it was awful.
Man.
I said, we got to close with that.
My brother was murdered.
Yeah. We got to close with that. That's a closer I've ever heard.
I would think
How are you
so.
Going to beat that bullying story?
You're like kind of a one-upsmanship with the other people.
And she had
Add
such
a little bit to your story every night.
What's your story? I was one of those people who invited him.
Oh, no. And like,
taking a bad joke. Can you edit this out?
Her closing.
Sure, we'll edit that out.
And I really like that, we'll by the out. Way. That's a really cool lamp. I'm pointing at a lamp.
It's a drum.
Drummed, yeah.
And it had nothing. We got it with the house.
I like it.
It's
giant.
Anything
remotely
yeah.
stylish came with the house because nice. we were contemplating throwing it away. And
no, my gosh, yeah.
She had a great closing line for it, too, because her brother's last name was, like, Johnstone. And so her last line was powerful. It was like, if someone had spoken up, maybe the name something something Johnstone would be on a diploma instead of a headstone.
Ooh.
Right?
God.
Yeah. I mean, it was even the biggest
Can we talk
figure.
About something else?
This is sound like the
So
whole
that thing. Was my other job in Chicago. Children's theater.
So how did you audition? How did you have time to do anything
else? So I did a lot of that, and I got, actually, right off the bat, I got a cool gig with The Onion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What? Yeah.
On Facebook, I saw that.
I got to play, like, a character on their video stuff, and then I was, there were, still pictures on the cover for the article that they wrote that had a video attached to it. And I'm pretty sure that the reason I got the gig was because it was over our Labor Day weekend, right when we got there, and no one
wanted to do anything.
No one was in town. Mm-hmm. I think I was the only person available.
All Chicago flees except.
Yeah, everyone was gone. So yeah, I got that. That was cool. It was fun to be, like, go to the Onion office and stuff.
That's so cool.
Yeah. He did some extra work in Chicago Fire and the Mob Doctor and some other stuff.
Yeah, that's fun. There's, you know, stupidly, you know, like, extra stuff that you just sit around on.
He was an extra in a movie with that beautiful Bollywood actress who ended up committing suicide a few
Doom
months
3.
Later.
Doom 3, yeah. Oops, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, shot hoops with her.
I kind of feel like it sounds like we're making stuff up at this point.
No.
Tell
I
us
was
about the
shot
last
to
year.
The moon
well,
and did a dance number and then flew back.
It's very sad.
I was just an extra, though, in the chorus line.
Wait, what actress?
Oh, she's a Bollywood actress. I can't remember.
I remember hearing something about her. Yeah.
Yeah. She was cool. Like, we taught her how to play basketball because she didn't know how. During a break.
Kind of sounds like you had a very... I won't say depressing, but perhaps moribund experience in Chicago. There's a lot of darker aspects of things.
Well, I think that's just coming that's out part now. Of the fun. Well, yeah, and that's part of the annoyance. It's super dark. So the people you work with are dark, and that's what you talk about.
Comedy is tragedy from afar.
Yeah. But yeah, so after that, it was pretty much just working, doing stuff at the annoyance. And I got to do their Christmas show. I got asked to do their Christmas show. Nice. Right up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun because I got to play. We did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Charlie Brown Christmas, but we did the exact versions that they do on television.
It was awesome.
On stage.
It was awesome.
So I got to play Santa Claus and one of the Misfit Toys in the Rudolph, mm-hmm. which we got called in. There's this dude that had a...
Who had so you just like word for word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
And they like would...
Yeah, it's Charlie Brown. Everything we did was like this. It. I was Schrader, so I had the little yeah. piano, and I would play like that.
Isn't it Schroeder?
Schroeder, mm-hmm. yeah. And we did the big thing, like, you know, when they make the tree go from crappy to nice.
Oh, right, right. It's like so just a big cloud of kids.
There was a shitty, yeah, there was like a shitty Christmas tree in the middle of the stage, and then we all circled around it and just did this with our hands, and someone snuck out and put a regular tree in, and then we walked out. So it was fun. Everything was two-dimensional, so that was a lot of
did
fun.
Did they have adults coming in and going, wah, 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 wah,
wah? We didn't have any wah-wahs.
No?
I don't know if they talked to any adults in the Christmas one. But we did, and we also did the loo, 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 loo. I would go down and breathe. We tried to be very cartoonish with it. It was fun.
That's awesome.
He also was in Steamworks the Musical. Steamworks is a very famous gay bathhouse. It's in several major cities, including Chicago. So they wrote a musical about it. So it was like a musical, a gay review. And Mark played one of the male leads, Stephen Stefan. He had to dance and sing in a towel about this big.
For
and I was
of
literally the only woman in the audience. And some guy turned around and was like, "Honey, are you in the wrong theater?" And I was like, "No, actually, my husband's the under, you know, he's filling in for the." He's like, "Oh, really?" And as soon as he started, he's like, "Which one is he?" And I said, "Stephen Stefan." And as soon as the show started, he turned around. He's like, "Congratulations!" I was like, yeah. It was very funny.
You looked fabulous, and the little dog laughed too. By the way,
oh, thank you.
Awkward as it was seeing so much of you,
so much of you
on stage.
Decided after those two, I'm going to take a break of being naked on the stage. Although.
I'm in full support of it. I say more naked. I say naked all the time.
Yeah, and I did a couple other shows.
We should probably point out Mark is naked right now.
Yep. Super awkward.
That's
I forget that they can't.
Although you
see.
Guys did tell us that these podcasts were, you know, clothes optional because
close
of the
well, yeah. you have cork floors.
Yeah.
That's
they're heated.
And they're heated.
Yeah,
cork
no.
floors.
Yeah. Some of them are.
I hear that
randomly.
The acoustics are better naked.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
There's less fuzz.
Well, yeah, because you obviously have shaven yourself.
I mean, shaven, you guys. Yeah. He is
we
like a baby's
it.
Ass.
Yeah.
And I think I lubed up too much because I keep...
You
can't see it.
Off the
I
chair.
Keep sliding.
That
yeah.
sound is him sliding.
Yeah. Yeah. So if my voice goes out, it's just me picking myself back up. Sorry. Core floors.
Just I'll wipe it up.
Just, yeah. Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
So yeah, then I did a couple other shows at the Annoyance, and then the musical that we wrote as an ensemble.
I feel like we're talking a lot.
Well, you asked. He asked.
We talk all
listen,
the time.
Listen, our non-existent listeners, Mike and I talk all the time, so...
I want to hear like 400 people listen to this one, and we get sued for like mentioning all these names.
No. What are they doing? You mentioned us in a non-slanderous way.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about it. shaking her
yeah,
head.
We're certainly glad to have you back here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're glad to be home.
Yeah.
We have a house now.
Yeah.
We're getting around.
Were you getting like a little homesick after a while?
I mean, yeah, that was part of it because we're both homebodies and we love our families and our families are here. And I think I also, trying to do the theater thing is a tough racket.
Older you get, harder it gets.
It's a tough track. Especially when you've worked in a pretty regimented career, as long as I did as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things I was used to in schedules and stability that
it's
without
completely
which,
and utterly lacking.
Yeah, I kind of freaked out.
Which is why he had like 24 jobs. I'm like, yeah, I think we're gonna be okay. Nope. You know, I think there was some concern of like, there's a lot of uncertainty, so I have to overcompensate by.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I'm doing 62 five jobs. Different jobs that are basically teaching and coaching, which is what I'm
trying to get away from.
Which is what I was doing. Only I had health insurance and got paid more for
less work.
Traveling around, way less. So.
Wow, well, when you put it that way. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yeah.
Yay.
I find Rochester has a gravitational pull.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate it. Like, when we were at Geneseo, you know, Rochester was just like, it was this weird city that I would occasionally go to for shopping in Henrietta. But then we lived here, and then we moved to New York, and I was like, I really fucking miss Rochester.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's close enough to large cities that you can do a, you know, a long weekend or even a weekend trip.
Yeah. There's enough culture here,
but here
you can get away from it. Can I ask how much you're paying for your apartment? Was it something ridiculous, or did you have a pretty good?
$1,050.
Oh,
what?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you, you know, somewhere else in Illinois and not really in Chicago?
No, we're in a nice neighborhood
too.
Ravenswood.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just north of Wrigley.
Yeah, $1,050, and it was 700 square feet.
That sounds...
It was actually sweet.
It was
sweet apartment.
It was really nice.
And it was in a really kick-ass kind of neighborhood.
Yeah.
But there's so many kick-ass neighborhoods in Chicago.
Yeah, it was the second floor of, like, this U-shaped building that was broken up into apartments, and each section was first floor, second floor, third floor.
I think even, like, 15 years ago when I was in Long Island, I was paying about that.
Oh, yeah. Chicago prices are very different from New York prices. Yeah, I lived in New York for about 4 years, and... I remember, I mean, I lived there like 2001 to 2004.
You
lived there briefly in 99.
Right?
No, I was in Queens. I mean, I lived in Queens. I worked in Manhattan. But I remember looking at studios in Hell's Kitchen, and I remember seeing a studio that was $800 a month. And this was, you know, probably 99, 2000. Mm. And it was the smallest, saddest, dirtiest...
Yeah.
Sketchiest place ever for $800. I was like, I don't even know if I can fit a bed in here. Like, that's how small it was.
Wasn't it like a micro loft, one of those kind of things? You have to get really creative.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I mean, you could, the bathroom was so small that you could, like, brush your teeth, take a crap, and shower at the same time.
And lay in your bed and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Someone explained to me that, like, cause I.
Like a European hotel room.
I lived on a ship on the third floor of a third deck of a 20 deck ship for 4 months. Holy so, shit. I mean, that was like a closet.
It was.
It was a closet.
We couldn't even, when I was in her room.
You had to like take turns.
We couldn't both move at the same time. We had to move in sync with one another.
Everything's a slow dance?
Yeah,
it was like
water
a bed,
and a balloon. Like,
your bed was here, and a tiny sink was next to your head.
Wow.
And then the toilet was like. You know, the toilet and the shower were the same thing.
Yeah. It was like a Murphy bed thing?
Or? No, it was just a little cot.
There's like a 6 inches in between. So you
it was the smallest thing in the world.
It was wild. It was tiny.
Getting ready in the morning is probably pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't wait to get out of the room.
Oh, yeah. I had 15 shows a week, so between that and... Yeah, I just went there to sleep, but it was...
That's what... I was talking to someone who had one of those micro-law things in New York, and I was like, how do you cope with this? And he was like, I'm out drinking and working. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Our friend Matt built a loft in his... He had a buddy build a loft in his apartment, and it's pretty cool. Like, he has a nice... I mean, it's...
You get a second floor out of it.
He's...
It's about the size of a double bed. He's got a mattress up there, and then what would be the bedroom, he's got... A love seat, a chair, a TV, and then...
His computer.
Sorry. Yeah. And that's... It's right next to a junk metal yard in Brooklyn.
An industrial... Yeah. Anyway.
And, yeah.
Gotta get creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we were paying $1,825 for our 500 square foot.
In where?
Park Slope.
Yeah. That's exactly why.
We moved there a month before that recession thing started, and when they... Time Out New York declared Park Slope the best neighborhood in all of New York City to live in. I was like, mother.
Yeah. My brother and sister-in-law lived there for a year or two.
Was that a year? 2 years?
Yeah.
I wish I could. Yeah, it was quick because we never even got there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had a pretty sweet place.
Yeah, they had a townhouse or a brownstone.
Whoa.
Brownstone.
Whoa, yeah. They call them brownstones there.
Yeah.
Brownstones.
Brownstones.
There are houses anywhere else, but
bricks.
They got bricks.
They're made out of bricks.
So many bricks. So you many bricks. You have brick? This is brick.
Yeah, we don't. It's just a facade.
Oh, I'm just actually just going to ask that. Is it a facade?
It's all a facade. Just... Yeah, yeah. Because I hate bricks.
It's not even a
really?
House. It's all
yeah.
Because of the heat issue or what?
The bugs and heat. Like brick attracts bugs like nobody's business. Because our apartment when we were saving up for the house. It was a brick apartment. You guys were only there once. I don't remember. But it was, like, all brick. And it was, like, the insect population.
Really?
Far outweighed the normal, you know, expected amount of...
Weren't you in the middle of, like, woods, too, though?
No, we were right next to the Wegmans over in the Blackwatch area.
Yeah, I thought there was. I thought it was wooded around there.
There were woods up the way of
up
it.
The, okay.
Not, yeah, we were, like, right across... Literally across
from Wegmans. Yeah, you were right across from Wegmans.
Yeah. Yeah, when we wanted Wegmans, we ran across that street.
Heck yeah.
Because there was no walk signal.
Yeah, because there's no walk. I mean, you literally had to run. No. You took your life.
Busy street. 5 mile line.
Families.
Yeah, no, it was 31.
31.
My grandmother lived behind Wegmans in that little townhouse colony.
Mm-hmm. How far do you think Wegmans is going to expand? Not too far west.
I don't know. I hope they take over the world.
Danny had gentlemen's agreements for a while.
East, right? They're in like one of the Carolinas or something.
He keeps expanding more and more.
Several in Virginia, I think. Mm-hmm.
Virginia, yeah.
I think shipping wise, heading west is harder, like going out towards
the eastern seaboard.
Eastern seaboard's the move.
But you travel out and like people have heard of Wegmans.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You go to like Florida or.
There's a dude in Chicago who's worked for one of the big grocery chains out there. I forget which one it was. But then he went off on his own and opened his own grocery store. What was it called?
Mariano's.
Yeah, Fresh Market. And I went in there one day, and everything is Wegmans.
It's a carbon copy.
Their motto is like, live well, eat well, and then one other well. It's the same font,
Instead of
everything.
A W, they have an M.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was researching. I'm like, this is Wegmans. This is 100% Wegmans.
Wow.
And there was an article where he was like, yeah, he was inspired by Wegmans.
Inspired by?
Robbed.
Okay, Shia LaBeouf.
Everything.
Oh, my God. It's funny when you see the Wegmans hysteria in other places, and then you're like, oh, yeah, we have one every 5 feet.
Yeah,
Wegmans Rochester is Starbucks to any major city. Like,
yeah, I love it. Though I can't say I love Trader Joe's though too.
I like
Wegmans
better.
We were liking the Trader Joe's. We always like to go to Trader Joe's. I can pick up a couple more of these things, and you like come back with like five full bags or stuff.
Yeah.
How did what?
And it's all
I don't remember what happened there.
They had no guilt. Guacamole, reduced guilt guacamole, chunky guacamole. Man, slap your mama good.
Slap
your mama good.
Punch your mama in the face good.
That's an Ingrid-ism.
Slap your mama,
yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Was there some sort of brittle conversation that just happened?
No, I was asking if you guys had tried cookie butter.
Cookie butter.
It's speculoos. Imagine if they, instead of making peanut butter from peanuts, they made it from like graham cracker.
What? Wait, what?
Is it like,
guess
insane.
Who's going to Trader Joe's after this?
What time?
How late are they open?
Is it like that Biscoff stuff?
I don't know, I've never had it.
Biscoff spread?
It's just like, it's like ground up cinnamon and ground, you can't have any.
Yeah,
you
I can't have any of that.
You can't do cinnamon?
It makes my tongue feel like it's being chemically burned.
Ooh.
And then like, it'll last for like a couple of days or two.
Yeah, you gotta talk about this for
And it wasn't always like this. I used to like cinnamon. I used to eat cinnamon all the time.
Every 7 years, cellular mitosis. You have all new cells in the body.
New cells.
Sucks.
You can lose or gain. Allergies.
You can't have friggin'...
You regenerate.
Apple pies anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
like you're,
man.
He's a communist, basically.
Penis is not the same one you had 7 years ago.
What?
Why are you talking about...
Who has it then?
I'm just saying.
Where did it go?
Your penis from 7 years ago doesn't exist anymore.
You have it fell off one cell at a time.
Oh, man.
Very slow loss.
And good thing there's dust mites who eat dead
skin
cells. All right,
you know what?
I'm horrible.
I don't know what happened to you tonight, Perf, but you need to die.
Or else your house would be covered in inches of dead penis skin cells.
I'm pretty sure it
Can
already
Can you edit
is.
This part out, too? I am horrified.
Anytime you ask that, I'm guaranteed to leave it in. Just so you know.
Yeah, I can't. I can't drink wine.
Because honestly, I'm sorry, but people are gonna be like, "Who's the that super crazy bitchy girl married to that gay guy. I'm sorry. You can't drink wine? Is it a sulfite allergy?
Yeah, sulfites.
I have the same. I can drink white wine, but I can't drink red.
Either one is... I've had reactions to.
Yeah, but you got sake out of it. And
what if it's organic?
You like
that.
Because there's some sulfite-free.
Some of those sulfite-free I might be able to drink, but...
What about hot dogs and salami?
I don't have any problems with hot dogs or salami.
Because don't they have...
Nitrates.
They have nitrates.
They have nitrates.
But I thought they had sulfites, too.
Some might.
Some dried fruit irritates me a bit.
Amaranth.
Vinegar, right? What about vinegar?
I don't know. I don't usually drink vinegar.
You should. Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
I drink it every morning.
We have the mother.
Oh, yeah. I can drink apple cider.
Bregs.
But there's only one. The only hard cider I can drink is Harpoon. Because it's the only one I found that doesn't have sulfites in it.
He's done tireless research on this, by the way. Just
yes.
Selfless of the world, amounts of drinking hard ciders until he could find
it. I spent hours and hours going through Beers of the World. Sulfites.
Hard cider.
I want to go to Beers of the World. I haven't been there in forever.
So Beers of the World and Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And Wegmans.
Like, you always go to Wegmans.
Just drop me off one of those places. I love beer. I was actually, I started studying to, I would eventually, it's a kind of a dream of mine to get my Cicerone certification. I mean, that won't happen, but I at least want to take the test for beer serving. There's like different levels of.
It's the sommelier equivalency or just serving?
Yeah, so it's like the first step is you are certified to serve. You know enough about beer to be able to serve it and
this should have a two finger head. This should have none. Blah, blah, blah,
where
blah.
Was this? Like, how is this created? And then the next step is a Cicerone. I believe it's the next step after that is a Cicerone certification, but it's super hard and there's like a, you know, tasting exam, a written exam. I mean, it's pretty intense.
It's bouquet too, right? You're smelling?
Yes.
Okay. I don't take any alcohol testing seriously unless you have to identify by smell.
Yeah,
that's the hardcore.
I can smell beer.
And then there's only like, I don't know, 5 or 6 master cicerones in the world.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's only one woman and a few dudes.
Wow.
Huh.
I may be wrong on the numbers.
We should all go to Donnelly's sometime.
What's Donnelly's?
What's Donnelly's?
What's Donnelly's?
Why do you keep talking about all the places we don't want people to know about on their podcasts?
So you don't want us to know about.
All right, we'll tell you about it all the time. We just don't want the non-listeners.
Where is it?
Oh,
is it here?
Fairport.
Fairport's got some really good places to eat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cellar Door. Been there?
No. Is it that strip along the canal there? Is it near there? No.
Donnelly's is.
Donnelly's is.
Oh, I'm talking about Cellar Door. Yeah. Donnelly's is.
You know where the Blue Cactus is? No.
Right. I know where the central office for the
TK's
school system
pizza?
Is. No. I know where Crystal Picks is. I know where
we've given away every good place.
Crystal Picks.
Is it across from Crystal Picks?
Yes.
That's the pizza place.
That's TK's.
TK's pizza, which is awesome. It's like the best pizza we've found around here.
Yeah, and I live in Brooklyn, and I'm from the Bronx, and it's still the best pizza.
Thin, thick, mid-size.
All real full fat cheese. All fresh vegetables, ingredients, nothing's frozen, nothing's canned.
Wow.
You know it's real because when you get the box, it's like almost caving in from all the grease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not healthy, but it's
looks
like they have better that way. I got into the deep dish. I do like deep dish.
Oh, man.
Well, you were eating real deep dish pizza in Chicago.
True.
You weren't at Pizzeria Uno's.
They call it.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Because there's some that's
what?
So much
no,
better.
No, it's
than
awful.
Others.
Why would you even bring that up? Pizzeria Uno's.
Not that bad. It's just not
the original Uno's is there, and there's the Due, which is 2 blocks away. Because I think there's so many tourists in that area at the original Uno's that they built a place called Due that.
Oh, 1-2.
Yeah, they just get it over there. Same place.
You guys ever eat at Grimaldi's in New York? The pizza place that would have like a 2-hour line in Brooklyn, right by the pier.
Oh gosh, I don't think so.
Very.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I honestly, sometimes New York's a blur.
I was drunk the whole time.
Pretty much. I mean, from your stories, it sounds like you were.
Actually, one of my favorite bars is a sake bar in New York called Decibel. It's on 9th and 2nd. You have to ring a doorbell. It's like secret.
Speakeasy
nice.
Kind of thing?
Yep.
Nice.
Ring a doorbell, they let you in. There's usually a long wait, but oh my God, it's incredible. Everyone speaks Japanese, like barely any English.
Nice. I would love to go there. We went to this place in, when we were in San Francisco. Actually, we went to San Francisco a couple of years ago to do a sake training class.
I remember that.
And we went to this, we looked up like all the best Japanese places to eat on like Yelp and everything. And we found this one called, Kappa. That was the name of it. And we found it on the map and like, okay, it's here. And we called them before like to make sure we could get in. And we're like, yeah, fine. And we're like at the spot and we can't find it anywhere. And we're like looking around, like there's other restaurants here. So we like go out and we like just see this door and there's no sign at all. And like, is this the door for the place? So we like kind of cautiously knock on it and this like cracks open and there's like this Japanese woman says, yes? We called for reservations and she's like, oh, okay, come in. And it's like this tiny place. I think they had like seriously 11 seats in the whole place.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
And we were the only people there at that point because it was like an unusually slow night.
Wow.
So we just, and the food was just amazing. It was like this Japanese home cooking stuff. It wasn't like sushi. It was like, you know, like more country homemade sort of stuff.
Hmm? Is it Chinese?
No, that's Korean.
Korean
or Vietnamese.
I made it. The other night I made po.
Oh gosh, honey.
With turkey soup, broth, and rice noodles.
I was just imagining the singer po.
She was singing
Johnny.
Well,
do you guys know about the whole House of Leaves thing with that?
No.
Well, where are you in that book right now?
I'm more than halfway.
So, do you ever ever hear of House of Leaves, the book? It was a New York Times bestseller, like I think in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s.
I've heard of it.
So, Angry Johnny, you know how the guy is reading, like he's reading something in the song. So that's her brother. So
you mean Hey Pretty
or? Oh, I'm thinking Hey Pretty, sorry. Oh. Angry Johnny's actually also related to House of Leaves. So her brother wrote this amazing book, and there's no other book like it in the world. It's basically a textbook, and it's a meta horror story. So, like, the basic premise is you may be reading an edited version of it. You're not really sure who the publisher is, but a drug-addicted tattoo artist... His friend helps him find an apartment that this old blind guy used to live in. And when he moves into the apartment, it's like weirdly destroyed by what looks like an animal. And there's a chest there that the old man left when he died. And in it is all these crazy like manuscript pages from a book in which the old man was dissecting a documentary that doesn't exist about a house that... this family buys is Pulitzer Prize winning. Are you still with me?
It's
impossible to explain the book.
It's like Inception.
It's very much like that. Late. I should actually start from the beginning, the other way around. So this Pulitzer Prize winning photographer and his like longtime girlfriend and their children buy a house in like Virginia, and they go away for a wedding one day, and they come back, and the house is just a little bit bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, and then like over time it gets bigger and bigger and like in really like disturbing ways. And so this documentary...
You're giving away the whole book, man.
It's all in the back of the book, what I'm saying. So there's a documentary that may or may not exist, and then it's like five levels deep, and then all this crazy shit starts happening to the tattoo artist. So he gave her a copy of this book to read, and she's like, this is amazing. So her album, Haunted, which has Hey Pretty and Angry Johnny and all these songs, are all tied into the book.
Oh my god.
So reading the book while listening to the music is like the most amazing freaky thing because there's like
Pink Floyd situation.
Did you mention that was her brother?
Yes.
Okay.
So are you really asking that?
I missed that part. I like tuned out a couple minutes ago.
If you'd listen to the podcasts, Mike.
Yeah. Perfect partners. I tuned out a couple of minutes.
We're essentially two old gay married men.
Well, it even gets weirder because have you listened to Haunted?
No, maybe I have a while ago.
Well, if you heard Angry Johnny, I mean, that's the album it's from.
It's a good name for your podcast, Three Gays and a Bitch.
Who's who?
When she started making the album, she had found all these old recordings that her father had made.
Oh yeah, he had passed
away.
He passed away when
she was young. And so she was incorporating all these audio recordings of her dad into her music.
So it's like this voice of someone who's been dead for a while mixed in with the story of the book. Highly recommended. Book's a fucking bitch to read. it, because half of it, you need to read it basically footnotes. Like, half of the story is in
footnotes. If you are in the footnotes, if you it are, is fucking awesome.
It is footnote porn. But there's one point in the book where you fall through the book for, like, 200 pages. So there's, like, just a square suddenly that appears in the book at one page, and then you just start reading through that, and then you go back.
Did he hand make this? Is there one copy?
No, but it feels like it.
Yeah, no, it's, I've got the one copy now. And like, yeah, I had so many people waiting for me to finish.
Yeah, and you're taking forever.
Slow reader. Whoa.
What's it called?
House of Leaves. Mm. It's the only book that gave me nightmares.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually a beautiful story. It just messes with your... The nature of reading it, like, becomes part of the story.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, the book I'm itself intrigued. Is kind of haunted, so it does things that books really aren't supposed to do. So the act of reading kind of messes with your mind. So after, like, 400 pages of this massive textbook where you're like, okay, what am I doing now? Oh, okay, now I can read it. It starts to kind of get into your head. Yeah.
What?
Cool. I'm tempted.
I know. Now
I'd lend it to you, but...
Yeah, but I'm a jerk.
Can we take a number? Can we take a number to get on the list?
Sure.
You have to think of a number.
Two.
No, you can't tell me what it is.
Son of a bitch.
I was thinking of two, though.
It's about a book, about a guy that has to think of a number. I can't count.
And there's this podcast. So yeah, she started there. There's okay, this podcast.
So, but the podcast actually not exist.
This is in the book. What we're doing right now is part of the book.
And as ordained by the prophecy, we are here. So,
you guys, I'm wearing totes. I just wanted to point that out.
I noticed. Nice.
Did you get them as a, you know, a Christmas present in the Christmas past?
No, I think they were my grandmother's or something.
What?
I don't even know.
Those are low totes. Wow.
Did you steal your grandmother's
totes? Oh, those
are totes?
Mid-level no. totes. All I ever knew was maybe totes she gave went all the way up to your mid-calf.
Yeah, they're for the old ladies with the diabetes or the, you know, the
circulation. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
take a pause and look at Beth's feet.
Everyone just stare at Beth's feet.
Nice.
It's just got, she just got real, yo.
you guys have been very gracious of your time. It's been over an hour. So oh, wow. Really,
do you have anything lined up?
Yeah, you want to promote anything to our non-existent audience?
I wrote a book called House of Leaves.
Yes.
You guys should get it. You guys should buy it. Yeah. That's all I have to promote.
If you want anyone dead.
Or if you want Mark to be naked in your stage production.
Or if you would like to be tutored. Or some combination
naked,
of those.
If you need a gay, naked tutor assassin, call my husband.
Doing an anti-bullying.
With a wife in tow who will mock him. And also remind him of key things he forgot.
Yeah. What about that other job, honey?
Oh, I was president of the United States. I forgot.
No, yeah, then you worked at that Quiznos.
Did those my tickets for the Final Four arrive yet? I have a student.
Thanks so much for having us.
It was good catching up.
Great.
Yeah,
great
story. Now I'm convinced you actually did live in Chicago.
All true. You just, yeah, made that whole thing up.
Well, yeah. I owe you $5.
Yeah, we really lived in Hamlin.
They pulled a Kaiser Soze on us right there.
They urinated on Gabriel Byrne? They didn't do that again? He pisses on Gabriel Byrne at the end of the movie.
I think he does.
Yeah, because he's like going to have a cigarette. Yep. He's dying. Oops.
I've never seen that.
Well, I didn't ruin the thing that everyone is the ruining thing.
I didn't. Do you know that I still don't know the thing?
That's awesome.
That's incredible. What about the Sixth Sense thing? Have you seen that?
That I know. He did not know.
I haven't seen it. I did know. What? I knew, but I've never seen the movie.
That was like Usual Suspect. Like, that got ruined pretty quickly for people.
Or,
strange that I still haven't.
What was the one? The Crying Game?
I haven't seen that movie and I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know it or...
It's a man.
They actually reveal it in the opening one of the Monty Python movies. It's just like running text, and there's something like, oh, by the way, that chicken, that woman in Crying Game, it's a guy.
Who's in the Crying Game? I don't even know.
Forrest Whitaker?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a big part, though.
That's literally all. Yeah, I know two things about that movie. Forrest Whitaker and
it was a guy.
And it was a guy.
And
didn't you see
Ace
Ventura?
In...
That whole thing at the end where like he turns around and all her genitalia is tucked?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're making fun of. To really throw it back.
Oh, cool.
He's in Stargate.
What?
Forrest?
The guy who played the girl.
She? I don't think she was playing the girl. Isn't it like a trans...
No, it's a guy. Yeah, he played the Ra in Stargate, and he quit acting after that. And he wouldn't take his nipple piercings out that he had in... Yeah, I forgot about that. It's actually really funny. So he's like this incredible actor, but he's just a horrible person to be around. And he was miserable on set, and he refused to put on clothing half the time. So they had to shoot scenes to hide the fact he was completely naked because he didn't want to have clothing on. And he had these nipple rings in, that he had put in for Crying Game, and he was like, no, I like him. I don't want to take him out. So they like were trying to hide the nipple rings throughout the movie because he's like shirtless a lot of it because he's supposed to be an Egyptian god.
And then after that, I was like, an Egyptian god can have nipple rings. Why not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently not according to Roland Emmerich and Dean whatever. The guy.
Kane.
I played Superman on TV and I say no nipple rings.
No nipple rings.
But yeah, he walked off set naked and then never acted again. He literally said, I'm never acting again after this.
Wow.
I'm taking my nipple rings and going home.
Yeah. And nothing else.
That's the way to... That's one way to leave. Yeah. One way to make an exit.
Exit naked, stage left.
Yeah, I hate to see it go, but love to watch you leave.
all right, well, thank you guys.
Thank
and we look
you.
Forward to seeing you perform again. I can finally take in my first full Manchi show, which I've never done.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be back at Blackfriars? Have you talked to them?
We were not there. I mean, we stopped our stuff there a while ago just because it got, you know... It fluctuated with the audiences.
Yeah.
We would have 40
our
one
slots,
day and 100 the next. So,
oh, wow.
Because our slots were dependent on when shows were running.
Yeah,
right.
And it was a lot
the
for them
slot.
To like keep the lights on in a big theater and the heat and
right.
all that,
sure.
you know. So it became kind of not really the most cost effective thing for them. So
improv.
Yeah.
Fun space to play in, though.
Yeah, well, it's
yeah,
really
it's
fun.
We had a blast.
I love Jack. I mean, he his sets are unbelievable.
The guy can make it.
Yeah. But
well, everybody keep an eye out.
Yeah.
We don't have a website anymore, but I'm going to
get Buddies?
One.
How about Buddies in Space? You guys are taking a little time.
We're taking a break. Yeah.
That whole kid thing.
Yeah,
God,
that
kids
baby
ruin
thing.
Everything.
Yeah. What? That's kind of why I started. I was like, let's start like podcasting and shit. Because
it's easier.
We can do it.
You can do it at home.
Yeah, you can do it at home and... And then like the whole like half of the last podcast we did, we just got distracted by talking about restaurants.
Hey. Donnelly's.
It's a
Donnelly's.
Foodie podcast
it's
now.
Become a foodie podcast.
Donnelly's. See you at Donnelly's.
So.
What did I say? Donnelly's? Oops.
Brought to you by...
TK's.
Donnelly's.
And the Crying Game.
And the
Crying Game. It was a man!
And Beth's new book.
Would you guys like to do our traditional ending?
Oh, sure.
Whenever we end one of our shows, we'll just look at each other and say, one of us will say, scene? Like, kind of like, scene? And you'll respond in kind. So, scene?
Scene!
Oh, and the end of The Usual Suspects.